Today's daf is Yevamos daf Kuf Tes Zayin. We are entering the last week of Maseches Yevamos. We are holding on the top of daf Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, four lines into the page on Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. Last thing we mentioned was Osios Niknos B'Mesira. Today we're going to continue the discussion about whether we are Choshesh for two people who have the same name. You find a Get, a Shtarchov, something like that, that has a person's name. Are we Choshesh that maybe it's not the person we know of by that name, maybe it's somebody else who happens to have the same name? Then the Gemara is going to discuss how we mentioned in the Mishnah that if there's kitata beino levena, that if there was some sort of quarreling, some sort of arguing between the husband and wife, she loses her ne'emanus to say meis baila. So the Gemara is going to talk about what is the definition of kitata and why is it that when there is kitata, she loses her ne'emanus. On Amud Beis, we're going to discuss the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi Yehuda says a woman is only ne'emanus to say meis baila if she really looks the part of a tzebrachna almana. She's got to come with her torn clothing and crying. So we're going to talk about what the Chacham think about that and what the back and forth is on that. And then the Mishnah on Beis is going to tell us in Machlokas whether a woman is believed that her husband died even b'makom rachok. Or maybe no, maybe she's only believed to say meis baila if she says that he died over in the next town where it's easy to find out, and she's more fearful of us finding out if it weren't true. But maybe if she says Medina Sayyam, maybe that would be different. And then the Gemara is going to get into a broader discussion of whenever the Chacham make a takana or a gzera because of an maisa shahaya, because of an event that happens. Do the Chachamim insist that their takana only covers a case that's exactly like the Maisa Shahaya, where all the details have to match with the Maisa Shahaya? Or do the Chachamim broaden it and say that even if it's not exactly like the Maisa Shahaya, as long as it somewhat matches a little bit, that would also be included in the takana? So let's begin again, four lines into the page on Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. And we're continuing about the two people, the concern of whether we are concerned that two people have the same name. Hahu gita dishtakach besura. There was a get found in Sura. So it's important to know this get was found in Sura. Uksiv bay, and it says in the get as follows. Uksiv bay hachi. The get says as follows. Besura masa, in the town of Sura, ana anan barchia nahardaa, I anan barchia of nahardaa, Patris Vitarchis plonus insi, have divorced, am hereby divorcing so-and-so, my wife. Ubatku Rabban Misura Vad Narda, and the Rabbanan checked from everywhere from Sura until Narda, Velohava Anan Barchia Achrina, and there was no other Anan Barchia, Levarme Anan Barchia Mechigra Tahava Benarda, except for one other guy by the name of Anan Barchia, who was from Chigra, who was in Narda, Vaasu Saadi Vaamur, and Edom came and told us, Dahu Yoma Ki Ichta Vahu Gita, that on the day that get was written, Anan Barchia Mechagra Gabonhava, that Anan Barchia was together with us, meaning he was in Narda, he wasn't anywhere near Sura. Amr Abaye Afli Didis Abaye says, even according to Mida Amina Cheshinan, who generally think that we have to be Choshesh that there's another person who has the same name, Hachalo Cheshinan, over here we don't have to be Choshesh, Dokamri Sadi Dibin Ardahava. Because witnesses said that he was in Arda, so if witnesses said that he was in Arda, there's nothing to be choshesh anymore. Meaning Abaye says, I think you have to be choshesh when you don't know any better. But over here, we know exactly how many people have the same name. It's exactly one other person, and we know that it couldn't have been the same guy because that guy was somewhere else. So my boy Basura, what would he be doing in Sura? Amar Rava says, no, I say just the opposite. Aflu didi delo chayshinan, even I, who generally think we don't have to suspect that there's another person who has the same name, that hacha chayshinan, over here we do have to suspect because we know that there is another person that has the same name. You have to be choshesh for another person that has the same name. But over here we found somebody that has the same name, and therefore we have to be choshesh that maybe this get doesn't belong to who we think it belongs to. Aye, what about the fact that he was in Arda and he wasn't in Sura? Well, there are lots of explanations for that. Dilma begamla parcha. Maybe he was in Narda one part of the day, he managed to make it to Sura that same day because he happened to have a flying camel. He was able to get there very quickly. He had a faster means of travel. Inami b'kfitza. Or maybe he had kfitza saderach. Inami mili masar. Or maybe he didn't actually give the get or write the get. He gave it over to shluchim to write for him. And they were writing in, you know, as if they were him. So they wrote that I hereby am giving the get, but they were writing it in his name. And they were writing in Sura. Well, while he was in Arda. After all, Kadamru Rav Lesifri, V'cheinu Amar Lehu Rav Huna Lesifri, just like both Rav and Rav Huna would instruct Sofrim all the time. Ki isnuchu b'shili, k'suvu b'shili, that if you happen to be in Shili, you should write the get as being written in Shili, even though you may have been instructed to write the get in Hini. And if you happen to be in Hini, k'suvu b'hini, you should write the get in as it is being written in Hini. Even though you may have been instructed to write the get in Shili, Tosfos points out that Hini and Shili where Shnei Mekomos Smucha Zelazah, they're very close to each other. The Gemara in Beit says that Rav Huna b'Shabbat to Derigla Mekasvi LeMehini LeShili, that on the Shabbos of the Regel, when Rav Huna would have to give shir, they would carry him from Hini to Shili. So you see that it's not very far from each other. But the Chiddush over here is that even two places that are so close to each other, yeah, you should be Makbid to Dafka write where you're actually writing it, and not where it was Mimsur and Mili, not where you were instructed originally to write it, not where the Baal made you the shliach, but where you actually are. So maybe that's what happened, Rava said. There is another guy that has the same name. It could have been from this other guy. He was in a different town. Yeah, he doesn't have to be in the town where the get is actually being written, and that's why it's a legitimate concern. Now, a couple of things over here. They checked from Surah to Narda to see if there's anyone that has the same name. Now, in the Rishonim, in the sugya that we just did yesterday, it turns out the way the Balei HaTosos and other Rishonim assume is that the Machlokas Abai and Rava, where the Rechoshish for two people have the same name, is Dafka in a case where it's not Huchsuku Shnei Yitzchak, Ben Shemur, you don't have a Chazaka that there are two people of the same name, and Shayaros Mitsuyos. There travel is easy from one place to the other, so it's possible that if there is someone that has the same name, he could have made it here very easily. That's where Abaye says that we're Choshesh. I don't know that there's another person that has the same name, but it's very possible that there is, and he could have easily made it here. But Ein Shayaros Mitsuyos, even Abaye would not be Choshesh. If travel were somehow inhibited, then even Abaye would not be Choshesh for a second person that has the same name. Rava, on the other hand, holds that even when Shayaros are Mitsuyos, even when travel is very easy, we're still not Choshesh unless it's Huchzak, unless we know that there is another person by the same name. Now, given that understanding of the Machlokas, it's difficult to understand what happened over here in our Gemara. They checked from Surah to Narda, but they didn't check everywhere. They didn't check the whole world. They only checked from Surah to Naharda. So, Manavshach, if Shayaros are Mitsuros, if it's easy to get around throughout the whole world, so then according to Abaye, they should have checked the entire world. And if ain't Shayaros Mitsuyos, they shouldn't have even had to check from Sura to Narda. And according to Rava, that we're not Choshesh, even when there are Shayaros Mitsuyos, why do we have to do any checking at all, even if it was Shayaros Mitsuyos? So what was this checking about? I mean, Manavshach, according to Rava, you don't need any checking. According to Abaye, you either don't need any checking, or you need to check the entire world. Checking from Surah to Narda is not going to be enough. So Chaznish, Neven Ezra, Simon Sadi Zayin, explains our Gemara that even though B'kola Olam there are Shayaros Mitsuyos, it didn't require B'dika B'kola Olam, because Abaye proves that we're Choshesh for Shnei Yitzchak, for two people that have the same name, from the Maisa of Avua de Shmuel, where they found the get in Arda, and they went to ask Rebbe, and Rebbe said, what was Rebbe's response? Check Naharda Akula. Go check the entire Naharda. So we see that we're Choshesh for Shnei Yitzchak, and Rava, that's what the Gemara suggested, and Rava said, nah, if that were the case, then you would have to check Kol HaOlam. If it were really true that we were Choshesh, then you wouldn't just check Narda, you would check Kol HaOlam. And so it sounds that Abaye, even if he's Choshesh for Shnei Yitzchak, would not be Choshesh to check Kol HaOlam, meaning the way Rava says it, that if that were true, then we would check Kol HaOlam, and that's ridiculous. So that makes it sound like Abaye would agree that we do not check Kala Olam, because he holds that we're not Choshesh for Kala Olam, we're Choshesh for the general vicinity. So that's what's going on in our sugi. Our sugi is going like Abaye, and that's why they have to check from in Narda, because there are Shayaros Mitsuyos, and you don't have to check Kala Olam because we're not Choshesh for Kala Olam. And according to Rava, you don't need to check at all because it's not Huchsuku, so we don't have to be Choshesh for anything. So the Chaznish says, according to Rava, they didn't need to check at all. The Chum did bedik over here to be choshish for Shita Sabaye. That must have been what happened over here. That's the setup of our Gemara. But it's interesting what Rava says over here, that even though, generally speaking, I'm not choshish for a second person that has the same name, but if we find out about a second person that has the same name, even if he was in a different city, and it doesn't seem likely that he could have traveled from one place to the other in the same day, so still we're going to be choshish that maybe it was that person, because we're choshish for Gamla Parcha. Now, this is not the only place in Shas that Gamla Parcha comes up, that this flying camel comes up. The discussion in the Rishonim is Gamla Parcha some sort of euphemism? Is it some sort of exaggeration? And it's a way of saying that who knows how they got there? Or is Gamla Parcha an actual reference to a form of transportation that they had? That it wasn't actually a flying camel, but Gamla Parcha was some form of transportation where they had these very fast camels that they would call flying camels. The mashal that they always give is the Concorde. That, you say it's an airplane, but it actually existed. It was a way to get from New York to Israel in, I don't know what it was, 5.5 hours, 6 hours. It was a way to get there that much faster. But the topic comes up in Maseches Makos, the issue of Gamla Parcha. Now, in our Gemara, we see that Rava's Choshesh, that Rava is Choshesh for Gamla Parcha. Makos Tav Hei, the Gemara talks about the following case. Two people come and testify that in the morning in Surah, they saw a certain Maisa. They saw Reuven kill Shimon. Then two other Edom come and say, well, you were with us in Nahar Da'a that afternoon. So how could you testify what you saw in Surah? That's a classic case of Imanu Ayisim, where you turn people into Edom Zom and you say, you were with us in a different location. But they didn't say it the same exact time. They said, you were with us that afternoon in a different location in Nahar Da'a. So Rav over there says that we have to see, is it possible to travel from Surah to Nahar Da'a in one day, from morning to afternoon? If it is possible to get there, then they would not be Edom Zomim. But if it's not possible to travel from one place to the other, then that would be enough to make them Edom Zomim. And the Gemara says, what's the Chiddush? The Gemara says, Pshita, isn't it obvious that that would be the that would tell us, that would educate us on whether these people are Edom Zomim or not? The Gemara says, no, it's not so pashut. Mao detema, I might have thought that we're Choshesh Legamla Parcha, that even if it's not possible to travel from one place to the other, we have to be Choshesh for the flying camel, that maybe they made it by flying camel, kamash milan, that you don't have to worry that maybe they made it by flying camel. So you see that Rava over there is not choshesh legamla parcha, and yet over here Rava says that we are concerned, we do assume for gamla parcha. So that's the kasha of the Rishonim asked. Tosos over here asks that kasha. Tosos in Dibra Maskel Hacha, and Tosos gives two terutzim. First, Tosos suggests that over here there's a specific svara to be choshesh even for very far-fetched things, because there's a chashash that this guy that was in Narda wants to be mekalkaleshes chavero, that he wants to mess up his friend's wife. So that's what we assume, that he'll come up, he'll do research to come up with creative ways to mess up her life. So that's why we're choshesh for Gamla Parcha over here. As opposed to, in the case of Makos, there's no reason to assume that anyone's gonna use such an unusual form of transportation. I don't know why we make that assumption, that he's interested in messing up his friend's wife. Maybe the fact that he didn't write a more specific get, knowing that it's Huchzak, that there's another person by that same name. Then Tosus suggests another answer, that maybe we're Choshesh B'Kol Mikra for Gamla Parcha, but by Edom Zomim we're not Choshesh, because they themselves didn't make that Taina. Meaning, we're about to kill them. We're about to say, look, you guys are Edom Zomim, you said Reuven killed Shimon, you lied, now we're going to kill you. If they were really innocent, they should say, no, we weren't lying. We made it. You don't think we could have made it from Surah to Nahar Da'a? We took a Gamla Parcha. But they never made that Taina. They never said that Taina. The fact that they didn't say that Taina is a major reyusa on the possibility that they actually took a Gamla Parcha. Their lives are at stake. If it were true that they took a Gamla Parcha, they would have said so in the case of Edom Zomim. That's the other Teretz of Tosos. The Ramban rejects that Teretz. He says, no, if there's really a chashash that someone took a Gamla Parcha, we're not going to kill these Edim based on the fact that they didn't say that Taina. V'itzilua Eda, we do whatever we can not to kill people. There's no way we're going to kill the Edim just because they didn't think of it. They didn't. People, when their lives are at stake, aren't always thinking straight. They don't always know it. They don't even know that they're supposed to talk. They don't even know what they're supposed to say. They're dumbfounded. They can't believe what's happening to them, says the Ramban. We're going to kill them because they don't taina. Gamla parcha, says Ramban, no, what's really happening over here is we're never choshish for gamla parcha. This whole gamla parcha thing, it's so rare, or it doesn't even exist. It's something that's very, very unusual. We're never choshish for gamla parcha. Why in our Gemara do we say we're choshish for gamla parcha? The Ramban says you have to read the whole Gemara. The Gemara doesn't just say Rav is choshish for gamla parcha. He says, or that he was choshish for traveling using the Shem Hashem with Kvitas HaDerech, or that he sent shluchim and the shluchim were the ones that were writing in the other town. Ramban says, obviously, it's the third one. Obviously, that's what Rava really means. He's just adding these other things as a sniff. And even if you don't want to believe the most likely scenario, there are a number of very, very unlikely scenarios that could have happened also. That's how the Ramban understands the Gemara. That really, it's the third one that's the operative issue over here. Maybe appointed a shliach, and that shliach is writing the get. Okay, so says Gemara, now we're on the first wide line in Kufta Zayinam Ralph. May have alayu deshumshimi. Remember, we had the story yesterday of the guy that gave us a pikadon, sesame seeds, to the other fellow, and then he came to claim the sesame seeds, and the guy said, what are you talking about? You took them from me already. And he said, well, no, you have the same volume, same exact amount, in the same container that I gave it to you. So what was the halach over there? What do we say? Are we choshesh that it was switched out and these are different shumshimi, or do we assume that it's the same ones? So Rav Yemar Amar Lo Cheshin. Rav Yemar says, we're not choshesh that it was switched out, we assume it's the same ones. Ravina Amar Cheshin. Ravina says, no, we are choshesh that these are different ones. Vilksa Cheshinon, halach is we are choshesh. Fine, new topic now. Ketata Beino Leveina. We had mentioned in the Mishnah that if a woman comes and says that her husband had died, well, if they have been fighting recently, if there was Ketata Beino Leveina, then we no longer believe her. So a couple of things that we have to verify, we have to clarify over here. First of all, what is the definition of Ketata? And second, why is it when there is Ketata, do we not believe her, that we don't believe her? So first of all, Hechidami Ketata Beino Leveina. What is the definition of Ketata? So it's going to take a couple of tries, three tries, till we clarify exactly what Ketata is. Try number one. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Ba'omeres Labaila Garsheni. It's a woman who says to her husband, I want you to divorce me. I want a divorce. She gets so angry at him. That's a real Ketata, and that we assume there's real trouble in the marriage. Says Gemara, nah, kulunami amru hachi. All women say that. I don't know about that. I don't know. All women say that. They always say they want a divorce. So that's not indicative necessarily of such a breakdown in the marriage that she's going to lie about his death. Ella, second try, Bomeris Labaila Girishtani. Not that she says I want a divorce, she says I have a divorce. You already divorced me. So Vlahemna Midrafamnuna. But if that's the case, forget about Katata, she should be believed that she's divorced, meaning we should believe her that it's true. Damrafamnuna, Isha Sharma Labaila Girishtani, Namenes, Chazaka Inisha Miza Pana Bifnei Baila. If a woman says Girishtani, halach is she's believed, because we have a chazaka that a woman is not Meiz Panav Bifnei Baila. A woman wouldn't say to her husband that she's divorced, that he had given her a divorce, if he had not actually given her a divorce. So rather, the Gemara says, third possibility, final possibility, Bomeris Kirishtani Bifnei Ploni Uploni. She doesn't just say, I already got a divorce. She says, I got a divorce, and she identifies the Edim who the get was given in front of. Vishayilna Va'amru Lohayidvar Me'olam. So we went and asked the Edim, and the Edim said, Lahadam, it never happened. We never saw any divorce. So we know she's lying in that case. But she's lying about the divorce, so we're not going to believe that she got divorced, but that's enough of a ketata. If she's going around saying with detailed stories how her husband had already given her a divorce, there's obviously trouble in paradise. Obviously, there's some issues in that marriage, and that's enough of a ketata for us to assume that maybe she would lie about the husband's death, or whatever the concern of ketata is. Now, it's interesting, this idea that a woman could say gerashtani and she'll be believed because ein isha mi'iza paneh b'fnei baila, the poskim discuss whether such a chazaka still exists. A chazaka that there's no azus, that people don't have chutzpah, that people don't have the chutzpah to say things like this. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, like Rav Hamnuna, that she's ne'amenes because chazaka inishim yizapaneh b'fnei baila, but the Ramah in Ebenezer, in Simon Yudzayin, Sif Beis, the Ramah writes, v'yesh omrim de'bizman hazed de'nefishi chutzpah upirtzusa, that nowadays, that there's so much chutzpah, there's so much pritzos, we no longer would believe her to say girishtani, because people do have that. People aren't meyiz pun of bifnei anybody. People have all sorts of azos. They'll say all sorts of ridiculous things in front of people. They have plenty of chutzpah. When the Ramah gets that from Beis Yosef, Beis Yosef quotes it from the Archos Chaim in the name of the Ramah. That's the sheet of the Reish Mem Hei, Ramah, the Rishon, the Ramah. That's where the Ramah is getting this from. The Bach writes that even nowadays, if a woman has gotten remarried based on her saying that her husband had divorced her, it's even though people do have chutzpah, b'diyeved, once she's already gotten remarried, we're not going to make her get divorced. Then we're gonna believe her that her husband has given her a get. And he proves it from Tshuvas HaRash, because the Rash paskins about a woman who was b'cheskas nesua, who got remarried, and because she got remarried, so it's as if she said l'baila girashtani. That's to say, getting remarried is about as strong a statement of girashtani as you could possibly have. And ha'omer girashtani is ne'emenes, the Rush says. So you see that the Rush holds, says the Bach, that even though people have plenty of chutzpah nowadays, but once she already got remarried, we're not going to make her get divorced. Others disagree with that Bach. The Chalkas Mechokek and the Sardis Shulchan Aruch says the Rush doesn't hold of the whole Ramah. The Rush doesn't hold that people have chutzpah nowadays. That's why the Rush doesn't make her get divorced. But we who hold like the Ramah, in the name of the Ramah, that people have all sorts of chutzpah, so maybe even b'di'evad we would make her get divorced. But the Aruch HaShulchan says we should paskin like the Bach on this issue, that at least b'di'evad we shouldn't make her get divorced. Now Pischei Tshuva writes, even though we paskin like the Ramah, that people have all sorts of chutzpah, but Pesach has to use their judgment. If it doesn't seem that she's speaking with chutzpah, it seems that she's telling the honest to goodness truth, then we can believe her. Meaning it's not that Pesach is not allowed to believe her, that Girishtani. It's that Bezin doesn't have to believe her, that Girishtani, because we can assume that there's no chazaka, there's no longer a chazaka that people won't have that chutzpah. But that's a judgment call, that there's no longer a chazaka. But if we see that she's not a mechutzef at all, she's a kind of person that would never tell a lie like this, she's a tsunua and everything else, so then Bezin has the right, says the Pischei Tshuva, to believe her. It's not that Bezin's not allowed to believe her, they are allowed to believe her. Okay, so it says where my taima de katata. What's the reason for katata? Why is it that once there is katata, the woman is no longer believed to say that her husband died? Rabbi Chanina amr mishum de mishakra. Rabbi Chanina says because we're afraid she's going to lie. She doesn't like her husband. They've been getting into fights, so she's going to lie and say that he's dead, even though he's not. Rabbi Simon Barashi amr mishum de amra bedadami. She's not going to lie. She's going to misjudge the situation. She's going to see something where he's almost dead, and she's going to report that he's actually dead. That's a psychological thing. When a person wants something to be true, we tend to see those things, even if it doesn't actually, we don't have hard evidence that it's really true. May be nahu, so what's the nafkamina, whether we're concerned that she's actually going to lie or whether she's going to misjudge the situation? Ike be nahu, da argil hu katata. The nafkamina would be if he's the one that started up with her. Meaning it may have gotten to the point where she actually said that he divorced me because they were fighting so much, but if he's the one that started the fight, she just wants a happy marriage. She likes him. She's willing to stay married to him. It's just that when he's yelling at her, she's going to yell back and she'll say Girashtani. So if that's the case, we assume that, as Tosus points out, if she really likes him, she's not going to lie that he's dead, but she will misjudge that he's dead. But it doesn't take that much for her to misjudge the situation, but it would take a lot more for her to blatantly lie about the situation. So that's the case of a nafkamina between the two. The Rishonim say, why don't you say another nafkamina? If she says kvartiv, she says I buried him. So if she says she buried him, so you can't say bididami, that she's misjudging the situation. If she buried him, then he's dead. But if you're concerned that she's lying about the whole thing, so just like she's lying that he died, she's lying that she buried him. So wouldn't that be a nafkamina as well? So the Ritva says, yeah, inachidami, the Gemara could have said that nafkamina also. But b'chadmina you don't have to mention every nafkamina under the sun. We just point out that there exists a nafkamina, but there may exist other nafkaminas as well. The Marsha, however, quotes from the Ra'im, that if she says kevartiv, l'kuli alma, she's not going to be believed. It's not going to be enough nafkamina. Even if you say the reason is omeris b'dedami, that she's misevaluating the situation, she's still not going to believe if she says that she buried him. Why not? So says the Marshan, the name of the Ra'im, and the name of the Mizrachi, says, because if a woman wants to tell a story and she wants people to believe her, she's likely to exaggerate and add in details. So if she sees that he's dying and she gets in her head that he's dead, she knows that if she reports exactly what she saw, people are going to say, you can't really be sure. Now in her mind, she's sure that he's dead, but she's not going to say, I saw him quivering on the ground with a stab wound, because she knows that's not going to be enough for the Beis Din. So she'll exaggerate. She'll say, I saw him dead and I buried him and everything. but it's all bididami. It's all because in her mind, seeing him on the ground with the stab wounds was enough to assume that that he's actually dead. That's how the Marsha understands. Okay, ibayiluhu. Aid echad b'katata mahu. What if they've been fighting and there's only one aid that comes and tells us that he's dead? My time aid echad mehemin. What's the reason that we generally believe in aid echad? Is it mishum de milsa David de leguli lo mashaker echad ami lo mashaker? Is it because that generally something that's going to be found out, person is not going to want to lie about? So over here also, he wouldn't lie about it. So but aid echad should be believed even when there's katata. Odil ma time aid echad mehemin mishum de he daiko mitzvah. Or maybe the reason generally we believe in aid echad is because we're not relying totally on the Eid Echad, we're relying on her as well to do some research and to make sure that her husband is dead before getting remarried. But maybe we can't rely on her when there's Katata. Since they've been fighting, she's not going to do proper research. She's not going to make sure that her husband is good and dead before she gets remarried. So the Gemara leaves that question unresolved about Eid Echad b'Katata. Now this is not an unusual question. We've already had this question in two other situations of what the reason that an Eid Echad is believed to say that a man died is. Is it because Milsa David la Gluye, he's not going to lie about, or because we rely on her own research? What were the two other cases that it came up? One case was an Eid Echad comes and says that the Mace Yavama, to be Matir Hilashuk, that it wasn't that her husband died, it was the Yavama that died. So if you say that it's a Milsa David Lugliye, it's a Milsa David Lugliye there also. But if you say that we're relying on her research, she doesn't like the guy, so she's not going to do proper research. Sanyale, she hates him. She's not interested in doing proper research. She wants to believe that he's dead. And the other case we just had yesterday, in yesterday's daf, of Eid Echad Bil Milchama, that it was a Shas Milchama. So if you assume that it's Milsa David Lugliye, it's also Milsa David Lugliye over there. But if you assume that Daiko Mitzvah, that she's going to do her own research, so then she's not going to do her own research by Milchama because she'll believe Bididami. So all three cases, it seems like it's all the same suffix. And therefore you would anticipate that all of the Rishonim, it's a Teiku in all of them. So all of the Rishonim are going to paskin consistently in all three of those cases. When an Eid Echad says the Yavam died, when an Eid Echad says the husband died B'Shas Milchama, and when an Eid Echad says the husband died when there was Katata in the marriage, you would imagine that they'd paskin consistently. Obviously, if I'm saying that you would imagine that way, they don't actually paskin consistently. The Rif paskins that an Eid Echad B'Katata is a Safek, and he's meaning we go L'Chumra since it's a Safek. So the Rashi points out that when it comes to Milchama, the Rif paskins that an Eid Echad is Neman, that he is believed and that the husband's dead and she can go get remarried. So apparently that Eid Echad is Neman even when the woman is not going to be Daiko Mitzvah. Apparently we assume it's because of Milsa David Leglie. So why over here asks the Rashba on the Rif by Katata also he should be Neman for the same reason. Also by Eid Echad B'Yavama, the Maskana of the Gemara sounds like it's Neman. So it sounds like we're poshate this suffix that we are somech on Eid that he's not Meshaker, and even though the woman is not going to be Medayik, even though the woman is not going to do her research. So if that's the Maskana of the Gemara itself, it would seem that should be poshate these other two Sfekos as well, that we should Paskin, that in the end of the day, that the Eid Echad should always be Neman. And the same Kasha on the Rambam. The Rambam holds by Milchama that Eid Echad is Neman. By Ketata, he says Eino Neman. So that is major fodder for the Achronim. The Achronim have a very difficult time trying to figure out why the Rif and the Rambam would split their psak in these cases. Just a ha'ara, just that we have something to point out for us. Okay, Rabbi Yudah Amar Liyol Lemeni Ne'emenes. Rabbi Yudah then went on to say that she's never going to be Ne'emenes unless she doesn't just come and say that her husband is dead. She has to really sell it. She's got to come with torn clothing and crying and, you know, teary-eyed. She has to say that her husband is dead. Otherwise, we don't believe it. Otherwise, it doesn't look like a woman who just lost her husband. Tanya, Amr lo l'Rabbi Yudah, l'dvarecha pikachas tinase, shota lo tinase. So the Chacham said to Rabbi Yudah, so according to you, if a woman is intelligent enough that she knows she has to sell the story, she has to look the part, then she'll be able to get remarried. But if she's a moron and she doesn't realize that she has to look the part, she's not going to be able to get remarried. Meaning, the way you're judging whether her husband is dead, is how clever she is. That doesn't seem very fair. Meaning, that has nothing to do with whether her husband is dead or not. So Ella achazu v'achazu tinasi. That's why the Chum say it doesn't matter whether she looks like she's an avelus or not. Either way, she can get remarried if she says that her husband is dead. Hayida asi lebedina de Rabbi Yehuda. Someone came to the basement of Rabbi Yehuda. Amrila sapti ba'aleich. Karimaneich, Sasrimazieich. So they start giving her advice. They say, "Oh, you're going to Rabbi Yehuda's Beis Din? Let me give you some advice. Tear your clothing. Start, you know, wailing over your husband's death. You know, to pull out your hair." So Frekli Gemara Alfua Shikra. They were teaching the girl to lie in front of Rabbi Yehuda's Beis Din. And so Gemara Inuk Rabbanan Sfiruhu Amri Tavir Hachi Kiyeched Delishrei. Well, they hold like the Rabbanan, meaning the people who were advising her this thought that Rabbi Yehuda was being ridiculous. That you don't need to show these external signs of mourning, and they just knew that Rabbi Yehuda wasn't going to let her get remarried otherwise. So they were doing what is really MS, even though it wasn't what the specific actions weren't MS. It was a show, but that was the real MS. Is she has ne'emanus, so they're allowed to do that. They're allowed to advise her on that. That's an interesting discussion. The Achronim talk about when you know that something is MS, can you use means that are less than MS to be able to promote the MS? They talk about this when you're if. Let's say I know the halacha is that a certain activity is aser. But I know that if I get up in shul and I say that activity is aser, everyone's going to say, what does Leibowitz know? He doesn't know. He never learned that much. Allah, you know, he doesn't know that much. But if I say that I heard from Rav Shechter or whatever I saw, Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva, and no one's going to look if Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva. Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva that something is aser, then I know people are going to listen. So am I allowed to say that Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva? There's a Magen Avraham that says like that, that you're allowed to say that. That you're allowed to, if you know that something is usher, and it's the only way that it's going to be believed by quoting B'Shem Gavra Rabba, then you can quote a B'Shem Gavra Rabba. Generally, I think people are not so somech on that, although it would explain a lot if you assume that would be the halacha, that people could be somech on such a thing. But anyway, so that's a discussion. I think there's a chub in the Galia Masechta or something about two Dayanim that believed that the halacha was a certain way, and the third Dayan didn't believe it, so were they allowed to lie to him, to trick him, to say like them, so that they avoid the argument? So I think he said yes, based on this Gemara. The first mission was about a woman being Ne'emenes. A woman is believed to say that her husband is dead. So now we're going to learn that Beis Hillel severely limited that Ne'emenes originally, but then Beis Hillel changed their mind. So Beis Hillel said that, and this is, by the way, when Beis Hillel changes their mind to agree to the Beis Shammai, all of those Mishnayos are lumped together in Maseches Idios, in all the cases where Beis Hillel was Chazrul Horos Kedivrei Beis Shammai. It's one of the reasons that we passing like Beis Hillel is that they took Beis Shammai so seriously. That Beis Hillel always, first of all, was always Makdim Divrei Beis Shammai LeDivreihem. They always listened to what Beis Shammai had to say. Not only did they listen to what Beis Shammai had to say before formulating their opinion, apparently even after formulating their opinion, they still always had Beis Shammai's voice in the back of their heads. And they were always thinking about whether Beis Shammai maybe was more correct. So Beis Hillel Omrim, Lo Shamanu El Beba Min HaKatzir, Uba'osu Medino Kamaisa Shahaya. That the only time we're ever going to believe a woman that her husband is dead is if you just came from harvesting grain, and it was in the same Medina that they were harvesting where the husband was left for dead, and it was just like the Maisa Shahaya where we originally made this Takana that we're going to believe a woman. Because apparently, and the Gemara is going to say explicitly, the first time we ever believed a woman was about a Maisa, or the first time we decided to believe a woman was right after a specific Maisa that happened, that they had gone to harvest something, and the woman came back from harvesting saying that my husband is dead. And we said, you know what? And then we found it to be true. So we said, you know what? If that woman wasn't lying, so let's believe all women in this type of case. So Beis Hillel said, but it's only in this type of case. Amulem Beishamis, and Beishamis said to Beis Hillel, Na achas haba min hakotzir, vachas haba min hazesim, vachas haba min habotzir, vachas haba min medina lemedina. It doesn't matter whether they were harvesting grain or harvesting grapes or harvesting, it doesn't matter what they were cutting, and it doesn't matter if it was in the same medina or if the husband was somewhere else. Either way, the woman's going to be believed. Lo dibru chum bekotzir el bahove. The chum happened to speak about a case of kotzir, that was the case that happened. Chazur Beis Hillel Horos Kebeishamai, ultimately Beis Hillel was chozer, and agreed. bring to the Beis Shammai. Tanya, Amar le Beis Shammai le Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai said to the Beis Hillel, L'divreichem ein li'al k'tzir chitim, k'tzir sor minayim. If you're going to say it has to be exactly the same case, so why would you say harvesting grain? Maybe you should say only harvesting wheat, but not harvesting barley. Ve'ein li'al kotzer, and also you would only know about harvesting grain. Botzer, Mosei, Goder, Oder minayim. How do you know about harvesting all the other things? These all mean harvesting. But Botzer is grapes, Mosek is olives, Goder is dates, Oder is figs. So Minai, how do you know that they're harvesting all these other things that you should believe are also? El Maisa Shayu b'Katzir, but Huadin l'Kulu. No, the Maisa Shayu was with Katzir, but Huadin. It would apply to any of them. Now it's interesting, Tosus points out from Yerushalmi that by Katzir it's most Shriach that a guy would die, because that's the hottest season. So the sun bakes down on the guy's head most during Shas HaKatzir. But nevertheless, Bishami says, yeah, but he could die, he could have a heart attack anywhere. So Achadami, Maestro Shaya, Bosa Medina, Vuadin Lakulu. So here also, the Maestro Shaya was in Osa Medina, but it could really be in any other Medina as well. Ubeisil's response was, no, Bosa Medina, the Shrichi Inshi, Mirtas. Only if it's in the same Medina, that's where it's Shrichi Inshi, that's where there are people around, so people are going to be afraid. Medina la Medina Acheres, lo Shrichi and she lo mirtas, but from one Medina to another Medina where it's not shchichi, and she, so she's not going to be afraid to lie because she knows that they're never going to find out anyway. The guy's in a different Medina. And Beisham will say, people travel, people will go from the other Medina. If he's alive, someone's going to report one day that he's alive. She'll still be afraid to lie. My Maisa Shaya, what exactly was the Maisa Shaya? Shilfi Ktsir Chitin Hayu. It was the end of the season of Ktsir Chitim. And 10 people went out to harvest wheat. Nashku nachashach men mace. One of them was bit by a snake and died. Ubas ishtav odil lebezin. So his wife came back and told Bezin that her husband died. Vishalchu matzu kitvara. They sent someone to investigate and they found she was telling the truth. Bosa shah amru. So once they saw that she was telling the truth, they realized that there's going to be a need for this, to believe women about this kind of thing. So they said, Aisha shamru, mace bali tinasi, mace bali tisiabim. That if a woman says, my husband died, she can get remarried. If a woman says, my husband died, she could do yibum. Name. So now the Gemara is going to say there's another takana the Chum made, also based on the Maisa Shaya, where we also have a machlokas whether the takana only covers exactly like that Maisa, or it's a broader takana. Name Rabbi Chanan ben Akiva, Rabbanan beplukta de Beisham beisilukam miflugi. Rabbi Chanan ben Akiva and the Rabbanan argue about the same machlokas. The Tanya lo yisa adam echatos veferchatos veavirim biyardin uvesvina. You're not allowed to take the ashes of the paraduma or the mixture of ashes and water of the paraduma and bring it on a boat, because there could be tumma on the boat. V'lo yamud b'tzadze, because of a ma'isa shaya apparently where there once was. V'lo yamud b'tzadze v'yizrok l'tzad acher. Not only that, you can't even throw it from one side of the river to the other, because when it's flying over the river, that's the same as passing over a boat. And I wonder why this Gemara is not quoted. Maybe it isn't, I just don't know. By Poskim, when they talk about birchas ha-gomel, the halach is yibench gomel when you travel by boat travel. There's major discussion in the Poskim. What about air travel over a sea? Is air travel over a sea considered traveling over a sea where you would have to bench, we have to say Birch Sagomel? So Maisha holds any air travel you have to bench Birch Sagomel, because it's inherently dangerous when you're 35,000 feet in the air, and but for this kli that's holding you, you'd plunge to your death. But that's a different shita. But many poskim hold that when you go over the sea, yes, and if you don't go over the sea, if you just fly from here to Boston, you wouldn't bench Gomel, but you fly from here to Israel, you would bench Gomel. I don't know why they don't bring this as a raya, that you see that flying in the air is considered the same as going in a boat. We consider that to be the same thing. That's what Rashi says over here. Shalnar, that Yisro came b'tzad zeh shalnar, dahainu nami dum yud esvina, sheporkin ba'avir al p'nei amayim. That flying in the air over the surface of the water is the same thing as going in a boat. So maybe you could say, you could argue the same thing when it comes to Birch Sagomel, that it's called going over the sea. We just had in yeshiva the other day, we had 1,000 kids benching Gomel after a vacation. Someone leans over to me and says, welcome to the Five Towns. V'lo yishitim al p'nei amayim. You also can't float it over the water. V'lo yarkivim al gabi behema. You can't ride it on an animal through the water. V'lo al gabi chavero, nor on a person. Elim keno yiraglim nogos b'karka. Unless the person is walking through the water, because if your feet are on the ground, then it's certainly not the same. Avim avirim al gesher, but you're allowed to pass it over a bridge. Ach echad yardin vechad charnaros, whether it's the Yardin or any other river. Rabbi Chanan ben Akiva omer, lo amrei yardin b'sfinu k'maisa shaya. No, it's only the Yardin. It's only a boat. It's only like the So you see the machlokas lines up. Is it exactly? Does it have to be exactly? Or can some of the details change? So the Rabbanan would say, we even go like Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel only says over there because she's afraid someone's going to find out. She's not afraid when it's a far distance. But over here, there's no reason to distinguish between the Yarden and any other river. I would say even like Beis Shammai only says that she is believed because she's going to make sure her husband is dead before she gets remarried. No matter how far away it is. But over here, they keep it exactly like the Maisa Shaya. My Maisa Shaya, what exactly was the Maisa Shaya? A guy was bringing the Parah Adumah stuff over the Yarden in a boat, and they found the kazayis of a dead body stuck in the boat, in the ground of the boat. So at that time they made the takana that a person can't bring the mechatas and the efrachatas over the Yarden in a boat. Okay, but so we'll pick up at the Mishnah tomorrow.